May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I grew up in a Christian family, and I guess I've been a Christian as long as I can remember. And so it was kind of drilled into me in one way, but it also found a place inside of me. I had this sense of God as a child. But even as I grew up, and it's taken me many years to come to an understanding of what does it really mean to love God, because God is such an enormous, unfathomable entity and concept. How do we love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength? What do we even mean when we say God? One thing that helped me on my journey was about 10 years ago, I started studying and having experiences outside the Christian tradition that have helped me, I hope, become a better understander, if not a follower, of Christianity. And a lot of what opened my eyes was some psycho-spiritual programs that take place out in the wilderness. A lot of you know I like retreats like that and sometimes guide them myself. But these kind of spiritual quests are not Christian. And so when I started hanging out with folks who were on these quests to find a deeper spiritual path, I noticed that not many people use the word God. They used other words like mystery or holy or the universe. And I didn't even hear those words as talking about God for a while because I had such a concrete way of thinking, I suppose. But then I started trying to use them myself on occasion. And one that was really opened up my, enlarged my understanding was people who called God the sacred other, the sacred other. And I was thinking about this idea of calling God sacred other as I pondered these scriptures today, because it's the word other in sacred other that captures my attention. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So this idea of like loving God through reorienting towards something that is other than me. Other, as in not me, outside of me, not centered on me. We live in such a me-focused world. Not that the world's focused on me, but of course I think it's focused on me. And if you're like me, you think it's focused on you. I think loving God is the first commandment because it's the most important antidote to this scourge of selfish over-concern that has plagued human beings probably since the dawn of civilization. I think that's what the old stories are trying to talk about. This Bible starts off with showing that something went wrong. There was a beautiful way of being that we've lost. That scourge of selfishness and of constantly sort of seeing the world through the prism of what I need, what I want, is what we call sin in Christianity. Another loaded word, but can be explained kind of simply. Sin is all that stuff we do from inside the illusion that our lives are our own, that our lives belong to us, that somehow I'm the owner of my life. When we're caught in sin, we're caught in thinking that we're alone and that my life is me, and there's the other doesn't really matter, the other country, the other people, the other political party, the other opinion, the other person's feeling or experience, the experience of the planet that we live on. None of that matters when we're so me-focused. The other is lost. The other is not concerning me. When I'm caught in that kind of selfishness. When we're caught in that kind of selfishness, all the world around us is sort of a prop for our existence. It's ours for the taking. And we see that. That's how we operate as a human race. We take what we want from the earth. We don't give the earth anything back, and she seems to not be very happy about it. we treat the land and each other as if it doesn't really matter. Even ourselves, we, in our misguidedness, we might be self-focused, but we hurt ourselves in so many ways with so many habits, trying to cope with what it is to be alive in times like today. We're destroying ourselves and destroying the planet. It is a sad story, but it's an old story, and it's the story that Jesus tried to come and reorient us toward a more beautiful story, tried to help us, save us from this condition that we find ourselves in. So even before Jesus, Moses was leading the Israelites out of the wilderness and into the promised land. They've been wandering for 40 years, and God's been close to them. They've seen God's mighty acts, delivering them from slavery and giving them bread in the wilderness. And now in Deuteronomy, that first reading, we hear them arriving at their new home. And Moses knows that, like all human beings, that they're going to forget everything that God has done for them. They're going to forget where they were. They're going to forget the old slavery they were in. They're going to forget, and the land of milk and honey will entice them, and they're going to go astray. And so he tells them these strong words. They're, keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart, Moses says. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on your doorposts and on your gates. This is a beautiful kind of direct simplicity. It's, you're going to forget, and you have to write it down everywhere. It's like rubber bands on your wrists and yellow sticky notes everywhere. We have to constantly remind ourselves. The Muslims are so good at this. That's why they pray five times a day. They more less than five times a day, you'll forget. It's just obvious to them. We do well to learn from them, to keep this sense that there is something bigger than me, all as a guiding principle throughout the day. So it takes constant practice, this remembering that there is a whole existence and this a whole plan that is much bigger than what we can conceive of. It takes daily practice. And if there's one thing that I would hope you take away from church today, it's to dust off whatever daily practice you have, or to finally start doing the one that you've been thinking about doing, because we cannot bust out of our selfish ways of being, our self-concern, even if we're people that are giving and helping in the community. I think you all know what I mean, that sort of constant, like, well, how do I feel? What am I going to do next? What's this afternoon? It's just a constant sort of stream of self-referential thinking. Or maybe I'm the only one here and I'm just confessing that that's what my brain is like. I have to reorient. So I invite all of us to dust off whatever practice we have and to remember to do something that is a reminder, whether it's a sacred reading, some sort of prayer you do, meditation, walking, some sort of dedicated practice. Because without it, loving God, I think, is too elusive in the world we live in today, where we're constantly being pulled away with gadgets and gizmos and enticements. And if you're not willing today to make the step to dust off that practice, then pray for the desire to do it. And if you can't pray for the desire to do it, then know that there are many people praying for you to have the desire to have the desire. That's what we're doing here in church, trying to help each other along. With practice, we learn to love God by serving something bigger than ourselves. We love God by remembering that our lives are not about our pleasure. Life is pleasurable, but that's not the point of it. It's not for us to have pleasure. It's about pleasing God and surrendering our conceptions of what it is to be a human being to some bigger plan that God has for us that we'll never understand in our lifetime. We just show up for duty. It pleases God when we treat all of creation with appreciation and loving care. It pleases God when we treat our neighbors with compassion and love, when we remember someone else's need and put it alongside or ahead of our own need. And so the second commandment flows from the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Our neighbors are also sacred others that can draw our attention out of our self-referential ways. And we love our neighbors especially well when we come to know them as we come to know ourselves. And we know ourselves better as we focus to love God, because then we see all the stuff that's getting in the way. And then we can see that our neighbors like us are suffering from this condition of sin, this horrible self-centeredness that we all have. They, like us, are fighting a huge battle to try and cobble together a life that somehow feels meaningful and fulfilling in a world that has gone astray. And of course, a lot of the ways we try to fulfill our lives, that we try to have meaningful lives, are also misguided, because we operate in this injured world where we're in a haze of consumerism and overproduction and selfishness. It's toxic. But if we can just remember to try and daily wake up to love God first, if we practice loving something other than our personal agendas, then we can truly be able to understand what it might look like to love our neighbors as ourselves, because then we have a clearer view of who we are. And then we see that insufferable or intolerable neighbor is really just suffering from the same types of delusions that we ourselves are suffering from. We all have the same condition, and it makes us maybe behave in different ways, but all of us are suffering from this great amnesia, this great forgetting of where we're from. So let us try and develop some sort of practice to daily remember that our lives are about serving God. May God give us willing hearts and open minds and strength, the strength that we need to love God, to live lives of service dedicated to the world around us, to everything that's not just us. Amen.